Good morning, Luca. It's Thursday, the 18th of June, 2026. Here's your briefing. The big news resolved on two fronts overnight. First, the United States and Iran have signed their deal, and it takes effect. President Trump has promised to release frozen Iranian funds and ease sanctions in exchange for good behavior, while acknowledging that Tehran keeps its ballistic missiles. After 4 months of war, that's a genuine de-escalation, but the hard part is now logistical, actually reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Goldman Sachs reckons oil flows recover to only about 70% of pre-war levels, and shipowners are still diverting vessels to other countries for fuel until they're confident the corridor is safe. The second resolution came from the Federal Reserve. Kevin Warsh delivered his first decision as chair on Wednesday, and it was hawkish. The Fed held rates at 3.5% to 3.75%, but it dropped its bias to cut, eliminated forward guidance, and published projections that now lean toward at least one more rate rise. The reason is inflation, which the Iran war has pushed to nearly double the Fed's 2% target. The bond market reacted instantly, yields jumped, the 10-year Treasury now sits around 4.45%, and traders have swung from pricing cuts to pricing hikes. Here's the twist. Equities went the other way. The S&P 500 closed up 1.21% and the Nasdaq up 1.34%, with US futures still climbing this morning. The signed Iran deal, and relief that the Fed only held rather than hiking outright, outweighed the hawkish projections. On the market snapshot, the S&P 500 finished Wednesday around 7,420, the Nasdaq near 26,000. The 10-year yield is about 4.45% and rising. Crude oil bounced almost 2% to just over $75 a barrel, but it's still near multi-month lows, with traders now talking about a glut rather than a shortage. Gold holds firm near $4,340. The dollar is a touch stronger, with the euro near 1.15 and sterling near 1.33 ahead of the Bank of England. Now your FT portfolio signal, the part tied to your book. The regime read is higher for longer rates with a friendlier energy tail. Warsh's hawkish turn means duration caution and a firmer dollar. The offset is oil. The Financial Times has flipped its framing from $200 shortage fears to looming gluts, with Brent back under $80. That's energy disinflation, which drains the stagflation tail but doesn't soften the Federation. The flag most relevant to your war chest discipline is credit. Thoma Bravo is losing essentially all of the roughly $5 billion it put into the software group Medallia, handing it to a Blackstone-led lender consortium. That's one of private equity's biggest losses since 2008. Add private credit outflows and Wall Street lobbying to ease bank capital rules, and you have froth and idiosyncratic stress, but not yet a severe, systemic trigger. So the stance stays neutral to defensive, and war chest rules stay sheathed. On single names, the AI build-out still looks voracious, but it's increasingly financed with debt. Meta is courting Wall Street for a $600 billion infrastructure push, which is a watch item for your semiconductor and cloud names. Microsoft selling OpenAI models into China is an incremental positive but adds policy risk. And Berkshire Hathaway gets appointed. Financial Times think piece asking whether, after Buffett, it stays bold or drifts toward an index fund. That's sentiment only, but worth tracking for a core holding. A quick word from the clinical desk, because this week's New England Journal is unusually rich for you, and it's cardiology heavy. The optimal trial found that intravascular ultrasound did not beat plain angiography for guiding stenting of the left main coronary artery, a neutral result that supports an angiographer-led strategy in experienced hands. In a nice example of AI in medicine, the ALL-RISE trial showed an AI-derived measure of coronary flow was non-inferior to the invasive pressure wire, while saving procedure time. In kidney disease, the iptacopan trial roughly halved the rate of kidney function decline in IgA nephropathy. And in pulmonary fibrosis, inhaled treprostinil became the first inhaled prostacycline shown to slow the disease. There's also a sobering negative: pre-hospital whole blood did not improve survival in major trauma. The full numbers are in the briefing, and, as always, none of this is clinical advice. Looking ahead, it's a central bank Super Thursday. The Bank of England is expected to hold at 3.75% at midday London time, and Norway's Norges Bank is a coin toss on a first cut. The tankmaker KNDS decides today whether to launch its IPO. And remember, US markets are closed tomorrow for Juneteenth. The swing factors from here are the pace of the Hormuz reopening, today's central bank calls, and how far markets push the post-war rate hike bets. That's your morning. Have a good Thursday.